Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, after giving the basic command that wives are to submit themselves to their own husbands in 1 Peter 3:1, the Apostle Peter, directed by the Holy Spirit of God, goes on to give some of the reasons why this ought to be done. We dealt with one of them on the broadcast yesterday, namely, to overcome an unequal yoke. In other words, to win an unsaved husband to the Lord. And that, of course, brings all kinds of other issues to bear, and we tried to deal with them yesterday. Issues such as, does a Christian wife being married to an unsaved husband thereby negate the obligation to be submitted to her husband? And obviously not, because Peter tells us here that even if some do not obey the word, that wives are to submit themselves to their own husbands. And, of course, it raises other questions. But one question that comes to my mind is, if, as we suppose, in the first century Roman world, everybody agreed that wives were to be submitted to their own husbands, then why is it even necessary that a command like this be included in the Bible? Think that one through for a moment, and we'll talk about it after I have had opportunity to welcome you to the Beacon Broadcast on this Thursday, November 14, and to extend my deepest gratitude to those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to continue ministering God's Word on this station. Well, I think we all have the sense that in the first century Roman world, it was expected that wives would submit themselves unto their husbands. Unlike the 21st century American world in which most of us live, in which it is pretty much just the opposite. It is expected that wives will not be required to submit themselves to their own husbands, and woe be to the person who says that they should. That is a political no-no. That is politically incorrect in our day, and the howls of protest come screeching out from every corner when we dare say what the Bible teaches on this subject. But back to my original question, if things were different in the first century and everybody understood that a wife should be submitted to her husband, at least that's what societal expectations were, why would you need an instruction like this? Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, and so forth. Well, it's as simple as this. Yes, in the first century, everybody agreed that that's the way it was supposed to be, but human nature being human nature, and that has not changed from the first century until the 21st century, most wives did not take to that expectation kindly. In other words, they resisted it. That was the general prevailing attitude. There was a societal norm, which is different from the 21st century America, the societal norm in the first century being that this was the expectation, that wives would be submitted to their husbands. The societal norm in the 21st century is that husband and wife are to have some kind of a partnership, and that there will be no one that will be submitted to the other one. Just a teamwork neutrality. And of course, the Bible does teach a partnership, but it also teaches that there is a head and there is a submissive relationship on the part of the wife. These two things do not negate one another. But even though the societal norms are entirely opposite from first century to 21st century, human nature hasn't changed a bit. And fallen human nature always resists God's commands, whether society approves or disapproves. In fact, sinful human nature resists submission to authority in every direction. So consequently, even though it was understood in the first century that citizens were to be submissive to governmental authorities, and this was not any attempt to be a democracy, nevertheless, citizens didn't just naturally take to that. There was this inclination to rebel against the authority of civil government, and so that's why we read in 1 Peter 2:13, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether as to the king as supreme or to governors, etc." And likewise with slaves and their masters. In the first century, it was certainly understood that slaves were supposed to be submitted to their masters, but that doesn't mean that slaves always were. It certainly doesn't mean that they wanted to be, and it does not mean that they always were. In fact, the truth is that most slaves would disobey their masters every opportunity they could if they thought they could get by with it. But Peter says Christian slaves are to do so willingly, gladly, voluntarily, as a matter of their Christian testimony. Verse 18, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh, for this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God," and so forth. And likewise, we read of wives and husbands and their relationship and requirements in chapter 3, verse 1. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." So all of us have in our heart sinful rebellion against the authority of God and against the laws of God. So if God requires wives to be submitted to their husbands, their sinful inclination is to resist that. And if God requires husbands to love their wives and honor and cherish them, sinful husbands will have an inclination to resist that. And so every fallen son and daughter of Adam has an inclination to resist God's design, God's order, and God's law, God's requirements. That's our sin nature, and that's why we have to be taught differently by the Spirit of God. And so here, wives are being taught that God requires them to be submitted to their husbands, and then reasons are given, and the first one is to overcome an unequal yoke. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So, even if some do not obey the word, unsaved husbands with Christian wives, unequal yoke, however that came about, a submissive wife who demonstrates her willingness to do what is not necessarily easy and doesn't conform to the desires of human nature, but nevertheless is willing to do it as a Christian in order to please the Lord, bears a powerful, powerful testimony to her unconverted husband. And furthermore, it not only overcomes an unequal yoke, but it authenticates a Christian profession. The wife says she is a Christian, but her rebellious spirit doesn't make that seem very authentic. But if a wife claims to be a Christian and then demonstrates that her submissiveness to her husband is simply an extension of her submission to Jesus Christ, then that authenticates her Christian profession. That they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of the wives that unconverted husband. Not by a wife's spoken word, but without a verbal witness from the wife, by her quiet, consistent Christian lifestyle, a silent demonstration of God's transforming grace bears a powerful testimony. And the wife who does this will trust God to bring her husband under the sound of God's word. And it requires godly living. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So it's not only her submission to the authority of her husband that's in view, but it is her entire Christian lifestyle. When they observe her conduct, her Christian profession is seen in her conduct. It is observable. When they observe, the husband is going to be more won by the eye than by the ear. When that wife's conduct is exemplary, your chaste conduct, that is your pure conduct, your conduct that is free from sin, no deceit, no disrespect, no slander, no overspending, a God-centered fear, for the right reasons, for the right motives, you are serving God and therefore are being submissive to your husband and being a good testimony before your husband. There's no value in being a self-righteous Pharisee, but there is great power in conducting yourself in this submissive manner. I know some dear wives who have it just backwards. They think that they are supposed to win their husband by their much speaking. But Peter says no, without a word. That even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word from the wife, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Not by the conversation of their wives, but by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. A woman who tries to win her husband verbally is actually building barriers, but a woman who submits herself to the wisdom of God's word and sets about to silently, quietly, meekly set an example of Christ-like behavior before her husband is going to have a powerful tool that God will use. Now, that doesn't mean that her husband's going to be won to Christ without any knowledge of the gospel. He will need a word, but not the word of the wife, unless he asks. And he may. Now, if the wife is trying to shove her religion down his throat, he not only won't ask, he'll probably tell her to shut up or just get away from her so he doesn't have to listen to it all the time. That's no way to win your husband. Listen to the word of God. Zip your lips and crank up your godly behavior. In this relationship, the husband is more likely to be won by what he observes in your life than what he hears from your lips. This is what God says, and I think God knows more about it than we do. God is able to give that husband a desire to know what makes his wife such a remarkable person, such a different person from the other wives he knows, and go seeking the answer and find the gospel as it is given to him by someone else. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.